the roof was, you know, removed, and what was happening is that it got all wet, so structure is cracking. So at any time, it's going to collapse.
Lots of broken trees. Actually, a tree that fell onto our neighbor's roof and actually caved the roof in. And in the middle of the storm, he was running to our house to get safety.
This house is made out of concrete. And look what it did. It blew the whole thing off. If somebody would have been there, they would have been dead.
I have no internet, no service of any type at all.
I was on battery backup for 8 hours to still get the news and all during the storm because we were out of power.
It's real hard. A lot of people lost a lot of stuff.
We've been through a couple hurricanes before, but nothing like this.
The voices of Floridians there confronting the aftermath of Hurricane Irma. Florida is beginning to assess the destruction left by the storm, both in the short and the long term. Now, Florida has the most people and the most property at risk from climate change. More than 6 million Floridians and their homes are susceptible to rising sea levels. Now, scientists have warned on this show and elsewhere that no single storm can be attributed to climate change. But they also say that the future is clear. Rising seas, warmer waters, and more intense hurricanes. Still, out of Florida's top three Republican leaders, which include the governor, Rick Scott, only State President Joe Negron acknowledges that human activities contribute to climate change. It's also been reported that Rick Scott has discouraged state employees from using terms like climate change and global warming, although he's denied any official ban on those terms in Florida. But places like Miami in Florida are on the front lines of the reality of climate change. Joining me now to talk about how his state is handling the challenge, Mayor Tomas Regalado. He's a Republican. He's been mayor of Miami since 2009. Mayor Regalado, welcome.
Hi, Todd. Yes, definitely there is an element of climate change of what we are seeing here in Miami. I tell you that I grew up here in Miami. I've been to dozens of storms as a journalist and as an elected official for 24 years, first as a commissioner and then mayor. I can tell you that the storm surge that we had during Irma, and mind you, as you very well know, we dodged the big bullet, but still, the storm surge was very, very unusual. I have seen, you know, the waters when they're angry, but not as we saw it. Brickell, which is the heart of the economic district of the city of Miami, was flooded. Luckily, we have pumps working since after immediately the storm, and now it's clear. However, what we saw was very, very different as years before. We also had an event in August, Todd, that it was very unusual, and no one at the National Weather Service was able to explain. We were told you can expect today, this was in August, maybe half an inch of rain, and yet in 1 hour we had 5 inches. The sewer system was overwhelmed, and we had flooding also in the Brickell area. We have been working with very high-end neighborhoods in the city of Miami, like Bellmead and Shortcrest, and they have experienced a storm surge even on a normal day. So now here in Miami, what we have is the will, a political will, to do something by ourselves. I believe that we cannot just wait for Tallahassee or Washington to acknowledge that something is going on, and we need to start a conversation. We've gone above and beyond. We have a referendum during the elections in November 7th, where we are asking the people of Miami to approve a bond issue where $200 million are going to climate change, sea level rise, and flooding.
Mayor, let me ask you about that, because you're here with this unequivocal message that you and the citizens of Miami know that climate change is connected, maybe not to one individual storm, but to the patterns that you're seeing that are affecting your city and your citizens directly. But you're a Republican mayor, and I want to know what you see when you look to Tallahassee or Washington and you see so many people in your party unwilling to address this in a meaningful way. You're a mayor of a city on the front lines, as I mentioned, with people's livelihoods, their jobs, their houses. And I don't ask this in a partisan way, but in the spirit of policy and the bond that you're talking about and doing addressing climate change directly on your own. Can the people of South Florida trust Republicans in the state or in Washington to take this problem seriously?
I think they should, and I think they will, because what we saw in Houston and what we just experienced here in Miami has the people not thinking but willing to step up and do something. And like you said, we are on the front line. 100,000 residents of the city of Miami, which is a 500,000 strong residents, live on the waterfront. We have the most exposed assets in many parts of the country. So it's for the benefit of the state of Florida and the United States that we do something, and that Washington and Tallahassee understand that they need not to expand but to invest in the future of Miami. That's why, Todd, we're calling this bond issue Miami Forever. Because if we don't do something by ourselves, if we just wait to see if someone wants or has the will to have a conversation about climate change and at least analyze and do something, it would be too late for us.
Mr. Mayor, where is the pressure? So often in situations like this, as you know, it takes pressure from donors and supporters to move politicians in a way they don't want to go. Where's the pressure from the big companies and the big interests in Florida? Tourism, insurance companies, agriculture companies, leaning on lawmakers or elected officials to take climate change more seriously. Is that pressure going on behind the scenes, or is it non-existent?
Well, Todd, you know, I think that the insurance companies will expect billions of dollars of losses had we had been hit by Irma as a Cat 5 or a Cat 4 here in Miami. We, as I said before, we dodged the big bullet. However, we have losses, and not as much as we were told that we will. But things happen. I mean, we've never seen three hurricanes in the Caribbean Basin or the Atlantic going around and around at the same time. We have never seen a storm surge as we saw it during Irma, and it wasn't only a Cat 1. So, you know, there's got to be a conversation. But, you know, if no one wants to listen, we have to do it by ourselves. After all, I am a Republican, yes, but I wasn't elected by the fellows in Tallahassee or in Washington. I was a Republican before Rick Scott and Donald Trump, and I will be a Republican after Rick Scott and Donald Trump. I know that that there are some voices in the state that want to have this conversation, but the fact of the matter is that we don't have time, and this is why I really believe that we have to do what we have to do.
Mayor Tomas Regalado is the mayor of Miami. Mayor, thank you for being here.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Fallon from Charlotte, North Carolina. The North Carolina legislature does not appear to believe that climate change is happening. The North Carolina legislature is Republican controlled. It is my understanding that at one point they passed a law requiring the Coastal Development Commission to only use historical sea rise information for future planning.
I'm Suzanne from Burns, Oregon, and I think the issue with climate change is that we're looking in the wrong direction. We're trying to solve the problems using corporate-level solutions when everybody wants to do something more alternative, alternative energy, tiny houses, water conservation. At the personal level, we're not being allowed to do these things because of overregulation.
Your voice is at 8778-MY-TAKE. We always want them here on the show. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick. This is The Takeaway.
PRI, Public Radio International.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.